This is Matt Wells at UN News. Some 300,000 girls and women die from problems related to childbirth, and 90% of these are in developing nations, the UN Population Fund, or UNFPA, said on Wednesday. According to the agency's State of World Population 2018 report, there are 43 countries where women have more than four or more children, and 38 of these are in Africa. UNFPA director in Geneva, Monica Ferro, told UN News' Daniel Johnson that maternal health was one of the best developmental indicators you can have, before calling for more countries to increase people's reproductive choices.
No matter where you look at the spectrum of fertility, be it high fertility, be it low fertility, most individuals and couples are not having the number of children they want. They either have fewer or more children than what they want, and this has to do clearly with lack of access to reproductive rights. And what we see when you consider the high fertility category of countries is that it's very clear also that there are institutional barriers, there are economic barriers, but there are also barriers when it comes to access to reproductive rights, like contraception, like access to a broader spectrum of rights. And when we look at this high fertility countries, what we are telling countries is that they should focus on a mix of policies that can put sexual and reproductive health in primary health care. They should consider comprehensive sexuality education in school. They should consider abolishing laws that limit women's options and, by all means possible, child early forced marriage, because this is putting their women and men in a position where they cannot control their fertility.
Can I just jump in there? What is the forecast between now and 2050 on the world population, and how much is coming from sub-Saharan countries?
One of the numbers we were using in this report was that we, from the 2.2 billion people until 2050, about 1.3 will come from that region of the world. And we are not saying that in that part of the world there are no choices. We are saying that there are choices, but what we...
But not enough choices. 200,000 girls, women are dying in childbirth. There's early marriage, which is linked to precocious childbirth, which is reducing people's choices, particularly girls and women. That's got to be a bad thing, surely.
That's not enough choices. That's precisely the point. It's why we are saying that... It's up to every country to decide the mix of policies they want to enact, but they surely need to act if they want to deliver economic and social development and well-being for their population. Because just the pressure that it's upon those states to deliver for education, for the creation of jobs, for the creation of sustainable healthcare services, it's a huge pressure, and we know that countries and governments, they really want to deliver for their people. It's the reason they are there. But one of the first things they need to do is to recognize, to do that, what I was calling the reproductive rights checkup, and see where their population is. Are they really having the number of children they want? Do they want to have more? Do they want to have less?
Can I just ask you what the average is in sub-Saharan Africa compared to richer nations? So how many children is the average in sub-Saharan Africa, and what's the average now in more developed nations?
Well, in sub-Saharan Africa, the average is around four or five. In low-fertility countries, where you would find most of the developed countries of the world, it's starting to go below 2.1, which is what we call the replacement rate, which is the number of births that a woman should have in order to secure that next generation will have the same number of people as the previous generation.
And since the historical landmark 1994 International Conference on Population and Development, when there was general consensus from 170-plus countries that reproductive rights were linked to human rights, where are we in relation to that, given that it's almost 25 years since that conference? Which areas have seen a big change, and where does there need to be more choice for women?
Well, that was really a landmark document, and it's really, we call it a paradigm shift, because we see that countries stop focusing on human numbers and they start to focus on human rights. And that's a major paradigm shift for us. And that means that for the first time, it was acknowledged that there is a link between enabling people to access their reproductive health and rights and the quality of rights, of all the other rights they can enjoy. And this is clearly linked with social and economic development, with well-being, even with peace and security. And this is why also this goal made into the Sustainable Development Goals. So sexual reproductive health and reproductive rights are both an indicator of good wealth and an indicator of gender equality. So they are in SDG 3 and in SDG 5. And this shows that Cairo in 1994 was really setting the vision that we need to deliver. So there's a lot of progress, but next year is going to be 25 years, and for UNFPA...
A lot of progress where?
A lot of progress everywhere in the world. Not enough progress in many parts of the world, but there's a lot of progress. If you consider that despite the fact that we have an incredibly high number of maternal mortality, 300,000 women die every year, out of causes related to pregnancy, childbirth, and postpartum, and most of them are preventable. And if you consider that 60% of all these deaths occur in humanitarian settings, or then 90% of all these deaths occur in the developing world, you can see there's really that maternal health is one of the best indicators for development that you have.
And going back to the richer countries, the industrialized countries where you need 2.1 kids per couple, otherwise won't be enough to sustain the economy. Have you put any figure on how many children these richer nations need before they go under, before it becomes unsustainable?
Well, I wouldn't say that we recommend 2.1. It's the number that the demographers use as the replacement rate of a population, because we focus on choice. So what we are constantly saying is people should have the number of children they want. They should be able to realize their full fertility plans. And a family size should be the one that you've dreamed about. And we are constantly making the case for it.
And you also have recommendations, practical recommendations, and maybe you could talk about countries that have put in and invested heavily and maybe turned around their reproductive results within a matter of decades.
Some countries made it a priority, and even to be more frank with it, I think most European countries have now decided to do a very thorough analysis of their policies, of their population policies, because in most European countries, the low fertility rate is making some governments and some other partners to start to worry about the shrinking of the workforce and the fact that you have an older population, more healthy than ever, but living longer than ever. So if you want to accommodate the welfare state and the welfare systems that you have in place in most European countries, this is something that countries need to look at. They need to try to see how they can balance development and how they can balance the right of choice of their populations with also the economic model they have, their markets model. And you know, in Europe, you have countries such as France, such as Norway, who really invested in what we can call family-friendly policies, in making childcare affordable and accessible from a very early age, in implementing policies that allow couples and individuals to conciliate the hours they spend at work with the hours they have for their personal time and therefore their family time, with removing all types of barriers to raising a family, like allowing parents to take a maternity paid leave and a paternity paid leave, ending all discrimination in law and in practice against women who want to start a family. So last year we call it the motherhood penalty, because we clearly understood that in some countries of the world, for a woman to be pregnant, when vis-a-vis her work career, it can be challenging. So most countries that did this reproductive rights checkup, they understood that they needed to invest strongly in these family-friendly policies.
So what would be, to sum up, the main challenge from this year's Global Population Trends Report?
Well, the main challenge is allowing everyone to fulfill their potential through access to reproductive rights. And UNFPA has committed itself to what we call the transformative results, and one of them is meeting the unmet need for family planning and also ending preventable maternal mortality and ending gender-based violence, including harmful practices against women and girls. So for us, the challenge is always when it comes to access to reproductive rights.